You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lefondre looking to get close to Font. Lefondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the On Park Rolls, a preview podcast supported by Phantom Bruco. Well, it has been a positive week. Exclusivity has been signed. And to help me talk through it, I've been joined by Mr. Scoop himself, James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Paul. How are you?
I'm all right, if I can say Reading Chronicle. It's going to be struggling there slightly, but yeah. I haven't actually been drinking yet. I just want to make that clear that I haven't actually been drinking.
It's still in your system from last night.
Yes. No, it is. It's been a fantastic kind of couple of days, but obviously you've been away. Have you had a good time in Romania, Mr. Earnshaw?
Yeah, it was nice. Different to my usual types of holiday. And I have still got a week in Benidorm to come, which is much more of my usual holiday. But it was nice to see a bit of history and culture. Lots of local beers. And obviously the good news spread as far as Eastern Europe. And I found that yesterday and that definitely helped the journey home.
It's good to know that Benidorm will get a bit of a warning. We will tell the police nice and early. It is really fantastic, isn't it? A bit of positivity. As we both know, James, this is not a signed and sealed and no, it's signed. Don't worry, I didn't say that. It's not been like completed 100%. There has not been a transfer yet. So it's kind of like keeping your mood in an upbeat, but not kind of, we're job done. Where would you say your kind of mood is at the moment about it all?
Probably somewhere about 65%. I mean, we've got to be happy because it's the furthest we've ever got in this whole saga. So progress is definitely there. Hopefully with the exclusivity should be sort of an end to points deductions in terms of wages and stuff being covered. So in the short term, it's quite good because we can now enjoy the last seven games of the season. And I think we should stay up now relatively comfortably, famous last words, but we should be all right. So the short term, it's good. There's obviously always going to be that fear that we're going to get stung last minute by Dye. The last few weeks he does seem genuinely intent on selling. Now we've got a mystery party that's kind of pushing further forward. Then hopefully we can actually unpop the champagne in the next couple of months. But for now, it's in the fridge. It's not quite in the freezer in terms of getting properly cold. It's just in the fridge.
I mean, how's it get in the fridge and not be getting cold? I'd like to understand.
It's not freezing, though. It's not like vodka when you put it in the freezer.
Okay, yeah. Now I was a bit confused by that one, James. It's fine. It's fine. We can roll with it. We can go with it. But yeah.
Shows my lack of drinking champagne experience as to where it should go.
I was going to say, also, you don't strike me as a champagne kind of guy.
Prosecco. Prosecco.
Oh, you're all about the sex, then. All about the prex. Lost it. Prosecco. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, that would be Yeah, well, we do live in hope, don't we? And I do agree that now that we are, you know, reportedly not going to get any more points deduction, I think it's absolutely massive for us. And I totally agree. I think we will stay up now. We are effectively 7 points clear at the moment. We've got some games coming up for the rest of the season. I'm not going to say like which ones in particular, but we've got some games coming up that we can definitely pick up some wins or points at least. And I just feel that we've got too much. Where that leads to next season of the summer, we have no idea with the owner. But if you'd have told me 2 weeks ago after the Wickham scenario, James, that we'd be here now, surely you'd have to be happy.
Oh, you'd have to be, especially the way that the statement made sure that it was for everything and put everyone's mind at ease that we weren't going to lose Bearwood and the stadium. And it would just be nice to have it all grouped back together again, which for me, I think, is how it should be when you're buying a football club. So yeah, you know, bring on May for both the end of the season, the Euros, and hopefully a new era of Reading Football Club.
Oh, if Reading would stay up and get a new owner and England win the Euros. I mean, is it worth ever going to the football again, James, if that ever happens?
Well, exactly. I think my head would just explode. It would just, my life on this earth has been completed. It's now time to return home. So wherever that is.
They want to know the planet. That's that's quite an interesting concept there. But maybe we should try and keep on track and talk about Reading FC. Yes, so we have a couple of games coming up, obviously, against Northampton Town on Friday. Just make that clear. No, don't do what I do when I phoned up the ticket office trying to get some tickets for away games to say, oh, I want to change receipt for Saturday. That totally blew their brain. It's fair enough. Also, we've got one coming up against Bolton on Monday. So let's get into this then. If you look at Northampton's form, apart from beating Derby, it hasn't been that great recently, has it, James?
No, well, they were sort of semi-accused of being on the beach by, I think, their manager, at the very least, the sort of the media and some of the supporters. So they kind of shoved that firmly back in everyone's face on Saturday by beating Derby. I think they've got up to 9 or 10 players out injured, including potentially former Reading captain Liam Moore. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting team that they put out on Friday. It's a game we've got to be targeting to win, I think. They are in that kind of zone of nothing really left to play for. But, you know, you can't take it for granted. And it's going to be a tough game. But, yeah, if you win that game, you can then go up for Bolton and just kind of try and keep it respectable and try and nick something where you can. You know, it's going to be more or less a full house at the Tough Sheet with their community day. I think Reading have got over 1,200 travelling up, which is some effort for a bank holiday that far up. I think last time we had Preston on the equivalent bank holiday, and it can't be much more than 300 or 400 that went up. So, you know, 3 or 4 times that many. You know, we beat Bolton at home. And, you know, see what happens. But if we can beat Northampton on Friday, then that's a big step towards sort of survival.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you for a Bolton prediction because a lot can happen in between then. But what is your score prediction for Friday?
I'm going to stick with what's happened. I don't want to go gung-ho and be all positive and then be stung. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. But with my heart thinking better. But my balanced head of just keep it normal is going to stick with a draw.
Will you have the champagne out the fridge if we do manage to get a win?
No. I don't think a win over Northampton Town is going to be enough to.
I agree. Really not.
I don't think Reading have beaten Northampton at the Medeski since we've moved.
How many times have we played?
We only played him three. Yeah, I think it's 3 or 4 times. But our record's pretty horrific. So maybe we can buck the trend this time around. Or is it going to be another Shrewsbury where no matter how bad they are, no matter how well we play, we just can't beat them?
Yeah. Well, if anything was absolutely certain about a podcast with James Earnshaw, the prediction bit was always going to slide down.
Most people have turned off listening by now anyway on my bit.
No, I don't think so. They're all here for the Earnshaw. Right, I'm going to say a 3-1 win for Reading. I'm feeling confident. It could all go wrong. It's just a prediction. It doesn't really matter. Right then, thanks a lot for listening. And now we'll be passing you over to Matt, who is talking to a Northampton Town fan. Cheers for listening.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. It's that time of the show. We're going to take a look into the visitors to the SCL this weekend. It's Northampton. First time they've been to the SCL since the 3-3 EFL League Cup tie. Remember that one? Matt Mills scored two goals for us and then scored an own goal in the last minute to force penalties, and we lost that game. Hopefully, we'll have a game that's as exciting as that this weekend. But to preview Northampton, we've got on from It's All Cobblers to Me, we've got Danny. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. Do you remember that game, that 3-3? Were you there for that?
I wasn't. No, I remember listening to it on the radio. That's the only way we could get it back then if you weren't at the game. Yes, remember it fondly, because it was the rounds just before we went to Anfield and won on penalties at Anfield. And so this would have been the second round, I think, was it?
Yes, second round.
Yeah. So yeah, scoring in injury time. We've got quite a funny story from Andy Holt, who played for us that day. He appeared in a Legends game a couple of weeks ago for us. And he was telling us about this game, saying in stoppage time, I think you were 3-2 up going into injury time of extra time. So 120 minutes. He's gone through with a player and he's got a touch on the ball and it's gone out for a corner for Reading at our end. And the referees thought, there's no time to do anything else. It looks like the refs just give a goal kick. It looks like he was going to give a corner. It was supposed to be a corner for Reading. Refs turned around and said, no, goal kick. A few seconds later, we're up the other end and Matt Mills has scored an own goal. We go to penalties and win it. So if it hadn't been for that intervention by Andy Holt, or by the referee, so to speak, we wouldn't have ever gone to Anfield and had one of the most famous nights of our life, which is insane. Like, that one little moment can change everything. And you could have gone through, you would have had that tie. It's just madness. So we're very grateful with the referee that night, for sure.
It's how football works, isn't it? Sometimes,
yeah,
the
exactly.
Highs, the lows. You get the referee's decisions sometimes, and sometimes you don't. But yeah, it's an interesting game. I'm not sure there's going to be many games where a defender has scored a hat trick and yet actually won for an own goal and two for his club. But yeah, anyway, yeah. Let's have a look at Northampton for a minute, because this season has just been fantastic, I think, quite simply for you guys. But looking back at you, kind of over the last, you know, 5-10 years, it's been very up and down for Northampton between League One, League Two. Never really cemented yourself in League One, but hopefully this season you've got the footing to do so. Give us a bit of a background into Northampton, really, over the past 5-10 years.
Yeah, so traditionally it has been a lot of up and down between League One and League Two, a lot of bouncing. A lot of what usually happens is we go up, our best players / managers go. We have to start again. We haven't got the funds to start again properly, and we end up going back down within at least one or two seasons. What we've been trying to do over the last 3 or 4 seasons is make sure we're in a position where that doesn't happen again, and we can build from League Two into League One. John Brady and the management team has got behind them, have created almost a completely new identity and a new culture for the football club. Before this, we had Keith Curl in charge, which I don't know if you ever came up against the Keith Curl's side, but you can probably imagine what kind of football it was. It was very direct. It was very play for set pieces. It was play the percentages, so to speak, and get your goals from corners, free kicks, that kind of stuff. That traditional thing you think of when you think of League Two lumping it teams. John Brady came in when we were on the way down under Keith Curl in League One. He didn't quite have enough to save us. He pretty much went gung-ho and just thought, we're going to attack every game. He started to embed a culture in the club. Wasn't really sure if he was going to get the job full-time at the end of that season. He was mainly in it until the end of the season to see what happens. But what he did was, on the way down, we ended up getting relegated, but the connection that he built between the club and the fan base was incredible during that time. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He will fight for every ball from the side of the pitch. Away fans and teams we come up against, fans probably hate him because of the type of character he is. You can just see him constantly nagging at the fourth official. He plays every ball. He he wins every header on the pitch for the players. He just plays everything. And from a fan's perspective, to go from a manager like Keith Curley, just never had any of that. I mean, he had his own style. It was successful for up to a point. He got us up in the playoffs during COVID, but it was never going to take us to that next level. And I think it took us going down and to rebuild that respect and community behind John Brady and the management team, a recruitment team as well, to create this new culture where we're A, not playing that type of football anymore, but B, have that off the pitch connection that we were desperate for. It took a couple of goes. It took one heartbreaking final day of the season at Barrow, where we were 3-1 up.
From Luton when you were up. Yeah. And that was the most bonkers last day of the season. Because that was that the 8-1 or something from Bristol Rovers?
It was 7-0. Yeah, Bristol Rovers. So we were third going into the afternoon. So we were in the promotion spot. We knew if we win, barring a miracle, we'd go up, and we were 3-1 up. And then it just so happens that Scunthorpe were playing there under 12s that day, and Bristol Rovers scored 7 goals. And I think at the end of the day, they would have scored 8 or 9 if they needed to. It was just felt like one of them afternoons that it just was, as soon as the sort of second half got underway, it started to feel like that sinking feeling that it wasn't happening. But came back from that. It would have been easy to us to sink to mid-table and to let it affect us. Obviously, we lost in the playoffs because it was just too much, I think, that season to drop out the top three and then go into the playoffs and have to lift yourselves again. We gave it a good go against Mansfield, but it just wasn't happening. And in the following season, the emotions around that promotion were something else just because of what had happened the year before. Maybe a lesson as well for all football fans, but particularly you guys at the minute, is the lows make the highs so much better. And that's what I really hope for Reading fans at the moment, is that you get that high at the end of this, and is not just coming out and getting an owner, is you get to feel what we felt in terms of you go through a huge low. I mean, in comparison to what you're going through at the minute, losing at Barrow, I mean, winning at Barrow and not going up is pales in comparison. But I just really hope you get that kind of feeling, because once we did it, and there was a lot of stuff that went on in the background as well, in terms of the staff, a lot of stuff behind the scenes that was really sad during that season, and it just felt like a huge uplift of the club, and it's just carried us into this season as well. He's managed to carry the momentum, all expecting a relegation scrap, and to be sat here 11th is just insane for us.
It's one thing that I mean, we've talked about with Leyton Orient fans, Stevenage fans as well, and Northampton is kind of, I guess, the final part of the trio, really. You know, the three of the four promoted clubs, really, from League Two last season. How they've done this year, I think, has probably surprised quite a number of people. But for you as a fan, what's it been like this season? Because it like you say, must have come in just thinking safety. Let's just try and build a footing. But you've done kind of more than that. Is that all down to the manager, the team he's kind of built up?
Yeah, 100% down to the manager and the team behind the scenes as well. We've got one of the lower budgets in the league, I believe. So to be competing at mid-table level is a superb achievement. The issue might be next season, when we've got a couple of loan players going back, we've almost got to start again. So we've got the challenge to do it all over again, and it's a fresh challenge for that team. But at the moment, we're just loving it. We've had some superb moments. The first win of the season was against that blue lot from down the road in our derby, to beat them in the 90th minute from a goal from about 40 yards that just kind of carried in over the goal line. Was remarkable.
That's the thing you just dream of as a
yeah, it's just, and we hadn't beaten them for about 20 odd years and things like that. And things like, you know, beating Oxford in the 94th minute on Boxing Day, away wins at Lincoln, away wins at Blackpool, away win at Charlton on a Tuesday night, 3-2, even though they have struggled at the time, it was a massive result. For us to be competing with clubs and teams like that is a fantastic achievement. So yeah, a lot to do over the summer and things, but you just, I think, as a football fan, you've got to enjoy these moments, don't you? You've got to really, really look back and think, this has been fantastic.
Definitely. And I guess John Brady, yeah, for you guys, manager, being with you now for 3 years, coming into his fourth season, 171 games in charge. Obviously, was it Brackley Town before you guys for, I think, 6-7 years before he came to you guys? Do you see him being long-term for you? I guess it's always how's he doing the next kind of 8 games with managers and football these days? But is he kind of that manager that you want to see kind of for the next 3-4 years build in League One and kind of see where it takes you?
Yeah, he's one that you want to build the legacy, really. We've not had this connection to a manager since Chris Wilder. And everything he does, you can tell it's with the love of the club. It wasn't just Brackley that he was with. He was with our youth teams. He's been around the local scene for many, many years. And he's got such an affinity with not just the club, but with the town and with the wider kind of community as well, the wider area of Northamptonshire. And it's just so good to have that kind of, I mean, obviously he's an Aussie, but so he's not local, but he feels like an adopted son of ours. So there's always that thought in the back of the mind that someone will come in eventually, especially if we finish in the top half this season. Teams will look at that and think he's had two spells at the top end of League Two. He's got promoted. He's now taken the team on a low budget up to the top half of the table in League One. Will other teams come sniffing around? That's the fear. But yeah, hopefully he can stay for as long as possible, really.
And diving into the season then, for you guys, obviously had a really good kind of, well, maybe a slow start to the season, but by October you were up and running, got the win obviously against us back in October. I think that left you about 16th or so. Since then, I've just kicked on and really just solidified yourself in that top half of the mm-hmm. table. Christmas came about and the new year period though kind of kicked on. The last 5-6 games, what's kind of happened though? Because you went on a run, I think it was 5 winless before Derby last time out. Talk of, I guess, maybe players being on the beach, all these football cliches that people bat around when you're in the mid-table. Is that a fair kind of reflection, or is it maybe a bit of just exhaustion, I guess, from the season? Because for the players to have come up and done as well as they have done, I think it's just commendable as it is. What's kind of been the last few weeks?
Yeah, you don't really want to say on the beach. And I think on the pod, we've been quite clear that we don't really think they've been on the beach knowingly. I think sometimes mentally you do have a little bit of a block when you've done so well. Once we've reached that kind of 48, 49 points mark, you mm-hmm. naturally probably slip off a little bit. And performances have dropped off. And I think it's natural. And I think subconsciously we have been kind of not completely there until the Derby game, where on Saturday against Derby, we were back to exactly how we want us to play. And that's the type of performance that it was kind of mentioned in the press beforehand as well, and mentioned afterwards, that John Brady was saying that a lot of people have said they're on the beach and we're not. And a lot of the players came out before the game saying, you know, there's a perception that we're on the beach, but we're definitely not. It's just been the results haven't been coming. From our point of view, something did definitely drop off a little bit. But hopefully now we can have a good run to the end of the season and just continue to kind of prove that wrong and finish as high as we can. Because I think that target of a top half is a really good target to have. There's still a lot to play for, I think.
Mm. Well, one player you brought in actually just over a month back now, I think, was one that's familiar to Reading FC fans, Liam Moore. Great to see him back playing football, I have to say. He finished very unceremoniously at Reading. There was problems with the owner. He pretty much, I think, just put a block on him playing. Seemingly fell out on that side of things. Finished very unceremoniously. But kind of having a player of Liam Moore's, I guess, stature really coming into Northampton, that must have been a boost really when he came. And obviously being quite a local person anyway, coming from Leicester, being living around the Peterborough, Northampton kind of area. What's it been like having Liam Moore in, and how's he done performance wise?
Yeah, it's done really well. I think it took him a few games to get up to speed, as it would do, having not played for quite a while. But you can tell his quality, you can tell his reading of the game, you can tell his strength. And on Saturday, it's probably one of his better performances. And it's just slowly grown through the last few weeks into the player that we were expecting him to be at the start. He's solid. He's a leader. And if we can somehow get him to sign on in the summer, it'll be a fantastic signing. He's just got a lot of what you need in League One as a defender. You can tell that kind of football in mind as well a little bit. And he's been brilliant. He's been really good. I think it's probably a case of the player coming just to get minutes and to put himself in the shop window a little bit before the end of the season. And we'll see what happens. But yeah, he's been one of the real positives of the last few weeks.
That's good to hear. Well, hopefully he gets a good reception. I know Gareth McCleary, he came back obviously with Wickham for the first time playing against Reading FC at the Medeski. His time finished rather unceremoniously, and he got a standing ovation from the crowd when he was taken off. I really hope Liam Moore gets similar, because he was a fantastic servant to the club, and there's all this talk obviously about the salary that he was on when he was here and everything and how it finished, but hopefully he can have a good reception back at the SCL this weekend. But looking at Northampton and the way you guys set up, the formation of John Brady that he's adopted, pretty standard 4-4-2-3-1, sometimes 4-3-3, dependent on how everything's going. Is that fair to say, probably?
Yeah, I think for the most part, yeah. Against Derby, we set up in a 3-5-2, I think mainly to do with Derby's quality. We'd been really struggling for most of the season against the teams, the kind of two or three big teams at the top of the league. We've been hammered quite a few times by them. And I think it was probably a tactic to try and match Derby up and to try and get as much as we can from our kind of what became a bit of a flat back five at times, turned into a 3-5-2 when we were attacking. And it worked wonders. Whether we'll see that again at Reading, I'm not sure. I think we might revert to the 4-2-3-1 just because they're the type of game it is. But I mean, I don't think you'd find anybody from a Cobblers persuasion that would say change anything from Derby, because it was such a good performance. It was a solid all-round performance. And to beat a team that's on a 4-game winning run and going for promotion and everything like that, the players that they've got as well, it's ridiculous. And we've got massive Manny Monte marauding down the left-hand side like a maniac. It's just like, it's one of those things that should be a mismatch, but it just turned out to be incredible. I'm not sure. It could be 3-5-2, it could be 4-2-3-1 again, depending on who's available as well.
Well, one thing's for sure is that you'll probably have one Sam Hoskins, obviously down the left hand side, who must be. I never like batting it about when it's not my team talking about it, but must be down in club legend status now for Northampton Town. Being with you guys, I think for 8-9 seasons now, over 350 games for you guys, has got 15 goals from the left hand side this season, and obviously was so key to your promotion run last year that saw you come up. 31 years old, maybe the latter part of his career at this point, but what's Sam Hoskins like as a player on the left?
Yeah, it's so funny with Sam, because the first few years he was here, he was very much that kind of player who gave everything, but his end product was just not there. So if you look at the stats, it was only over the last two or three seasons since John Brady's come in that he's found that goal scoring knack. And I think Brady's given everything to him in terms of that confidence and belief to go and score goals. We always said if he found an end product, he'd be one of the better players in the lower two leagues. And that's just how it's proven the last couple of seasons. Fantastic servant. You don't see a lot of that these days in terms of longevity. He's probably had his head turned a couple of times, I would have thought, with potential bids. But he's just a fantastic servant in terms of he digs in on the pitch. He'll give everything. He's every young kids watching favourite player. Because the way he plays and the way he just puts everything into it. He's coming back into form a little bit now. He was out ill, so it was back to form on Saturday, and hopefully now we can have a good finish to the season. His age as well probably benefits us a little bit in terms of future moves, because he might want to see out his career now and just build that massive legacy with us, especially given taking us to the point where we are in the league and stuff. So yeah, brilliant servant. Is an absolute legend now. He's one of the top four or five all-time appearances in the club, one of the all-time leading goal scorers in the club's history now. So to live through that as a fan is a great thing as well, to live through someone who's making these records.
And one person I think that's been pivotal in the midfield for you guys, Mark Leonard, on loan from Brighton Hove Albion. I think second season he's been with you guys as well on loan. But this year, just again, flourished in that midfield. He's almost, I guess, been the person that's been ticking things over. And he's he's your Lewis Wing, really, in I think the Northampton team at the moment. But what's he like in the midfield?
Yeah, brilliant player. We're just kind of enjoying the last few weeks of having him while we can, because I'm pretty certain he's going to be playing at least Championship level next season on another loan from Brighton. The first part of the season, he was quite far back, so he was playing in a defensive midfield role because of injuries to other players. As soon as he got into the number 10 role, we saw the brilliance of Mark Leonard and what he's grown into in the last couple of seasons from where he was when he joined to now. his passing, his vision, his get stuck in as well. That's probably an underrated part of his game, is that he does get a good tackle in, and he's got that character as well. He can produce a goal from nowhere, like he did at Portsmouth. It didn't really mean anything, but he smashed one in first time. He's just got a stunning strike on him. So don't give him any free kicks or time on the edge of the area, because he will do something. Just a joy to watch, absolute joy to watch, and just a really good person as well. And yeah, we've got a few more games to enjoy him, but I'm pretty sure he'll be farmed out somewhere in the Championship next season, because I feel like that would suit him as well.
Well, he's 22, is he? I think. So we've got a big future ahead of him. But obviously, been very, very good for Northampton this year. And finally, I guess Mitchell Pinnock has, I guess, been the last. Another person that's been so pivotal for you guys. I think six goals, seven assists, and quite a servant to you guys. Nearly 150 appearances as well at Northampton. Where does he? Because he used to play as attacking midfielder, but now has. Has Leonard kind of taken that attacking midfield role? Does he play out wide or deeper?
Yeah, he plays out wide. So we'll play in one of the wide positions. He can play in the number 10 if we need him to. But yeah, he's another one that can just do something out of nowhere. Can be frustrating at times, but I think this season he's really stepped up. And I think a few of us were a little bit worried about him stepping up, about can he do it in League One? Can he have the quality? And can he find the spaces he was in League Two just to deliver stuff? But he absolutely has done. Got a great corner free kick on him, and one who can just pick up the ball from anywhere and smash one in the top corner or pick out a cross. And when he was absent, we definitely noticed the fact that he wasn't on the ball and he wasn't giving us that kind of outlet going forward, because you need players like that sometimes to take the pressure off, and he does that in abundance. He's got such quality on the ball and to be able to hold on to it as well. Good character as well for the squad.
If you could then pick one player for Northampton, potentially one of those three or one that we've not mentioned for Reading fans to watch, or kind of your star player, who would you kind of be picking?
Yeah, it's definitely Leonard. He'll be player of the season by a long way. He's just head and shoulders above everyone in the team. He's one of these players who thinks before other players a lot of the time. So you can see his mind working constantly about what to do next. He's two or three moves ahead of people. Must be a nightmare to play against. But sometimes I think maybe some of our players aren't quite up with him as well. So sometimes it goes astray because they're just not on that wavelength. But yeah, he is far and away the player of the season for us.
Well, Reading FC players, I know you'll be listening, so you know who to mark, and just don't give him any time. And
yeah, four players on him.
You know what to do. You know, you have been warned. So looking at the game, Danny, what's your anticipations really going into it? What's your feelings going into this game?
Difficult to tell, I think, after last week, because it was such a good performance against Derby that you don't know how much that's taken out of them. And we've got to the sort of 53 point now, I think, mark as well now, I think. So we're that was the pretty much what we were aiming at. But really, really difficult to tell what team's going to turn up. It could be one that's a bit more relaxed that plays well, or it could be one that's way too relaxed that then lets you play and does what you did to Cambridge. So we just don't know, really. It's very difficult to tell. We should have a good following and stuff there, so hopefully they'll give them something good to cheer about. Difficult to kind of make predictions on this one, I think.
And a score prediction then. You say it's difficult.
Yeah, having said that, I think I played it safe on our podcast and went 1-1, so I'll go with that. And I think we can both be fairly happy with that result, I think.
Yes, yeah, I did predict a 2-1 win on their podcast, but I think, as I said, if you were to give me a point now, I know we need the points, I know we need wins to take pressure off other games. I'd be quietly content, I think, with a 1-1. So everyone can go home happy then. So are you going to be at the game on Friday?
No, sadly not this week. No, I'd really love to come down again, because I've had a few really good trips down to Reading in the past, but no, not this week, unfortunately.
Oh, fair enough. Well, fingers crossed for the rest of the season for you guys. Obviously, it's great seeing you in League One, obviously doing so well. Fingers crossed you can solidify that and take things forwards going forward. So do you want to just give your podcast a quick plug as well?
So it's at Cobblers to Me on all the social media, Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, I believe. We're not on the TikTok or anything like that. Lovely.
Well, it's been great having you on, Danny, and obviously best of luck for the rest of the season. Fingers crossed we can have a nice happy chat next year as well, hopefully, with both of us hopefully in League One next year. So thank you for joining us. And if you have enjoyed this episode of the Preview Podcast, remember, be sure to give it a 5-star rating on your podcast of choice. Really does help us out in podcast rankings and all that jazz. Give us a follow over on our socials on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter to keep up to date with all the latest EPR and Reading FC content. We will be back on Saturday reviewing the Northampton game, fingers crossed reviewing a win. But until then, I've been Matt Lansley and this has been the Umpire Rules Preview Podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.